It's good to be here tonight. Good to be here every time. I'd rather be here than anywhere else I can think of. When Brother Josh asked me to preach, I knew exactly what God wanted me to preach, but I just didn't have it all prayed about and penned down, and sometimes I pen stuff down and sometimes I don't, but as I get older, I have to pen it down more because my memory seems to be like my eyes fading away pretty fast, and so you hear a lot about eyes when people get up behind this pulpit. It's done caught up with Josh, and I think just about everybody gets in here makes mention of how the eyes ain't working as good as they used to. And it's sort of funny that we that we say that tonight, because we're going to be preaching on that subject tonight. And I was thinking when I was looking over some scriptures and meditating on this, I'm just convinced, and you may disagree with me, and that's okay, but I'm convinced that God's people, the majority of God's people, is trying to view God and what all God is and does and through their natural eyes. And the only thing wrong with that is we just can't see God for who He is and what He does for us, looking at Him through these natural eyes. And there's several mentions in the Bible about God opening the eyes of different ones. I catch myself praying a lot, Lord, let me see that with spiritual eyes, where it'll mean more to me, where it'll hit home more, and more than anything, to where I can put the big G instead of the little G in my God. And so, tonight, I hope this will be a help to you, and I know you have to sort of watch out for the time, because my Sunday school class can tell you I'm terrible about running over in time and everything, but I do want to take enough time to share with you what God's laid on my heart, and hopefully this will be a help to you. Proverbs chapter number 23, and I'm just going to read one verse out of there and share with you some thoughts. Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for every person that's made their way out to the house of God tonight. I pray that you just minister to every heart. I need to hear from you tonight. And I pray that every person under the sound of my voice would hear from you tonight, Father. You know our needs. You know what every person stands in need of that's here tonight. And I pray that you just meet those needs. Thank you, God, for the praise reports that we've heard. And thank you, God, for what you're going to do in other lives, Father, that we're praying for. We just ask you to have your way tonight. And bless your people is my prayer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Got to thinking about our eyes and looking at the Lord and understanding what's going on. You know, I'm convinced, again, you may disagree with me, but I'm convinced that there's so many of God's people that are living defeated lives. They're living lives, and you can see the countenance on their faces a lot of times, the sadness. They're not experiencing the joy of their salvation. They're not experiencing all that God wants to do for them. And I think that's such a shame, because I'm convinced that God wants more than anything for us to enjoy our life here on this earth. Yes, He's got work for us. Yes, He's got things laid out for us to do. But He wants us to have the joy of our salvation. And until we start looking in our spiritual eyes towards God and what God is doing in our lives on a daily basis, I just don't think we will ever experience the full joy of our salvation. You saying, Brother Dorsey, you mean you've got all this down pat? No, ma'am, no, sir. I struggle with it every day just like you do, but I try my best to look at everything from spiritual eyes and understand what it is that this great God that we serve is trying to do in my life. And I think that's what all of God's people ought to strive for. Psalms 25 and 15 says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." There's not a moment, nor a day, nor an hour that we need to take our eyes off of God. That's what's wrong with God's people. You can't look at the world and focus on the world and put all of your trust and faith in God. It does not work that way. And we see that day after day with God's people. And I just want tonight to preach to you on this simple thought, seeing God through spiritual eyes. I want us to look at six things, and I will be mindful of time. I want us to look at six things we need to see with these spiritual eyes. Simple stuff. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's not something that's going to go over your head. In fact, I couldn't go over your head if I wanted to. I try to keep it as simple as I can because, number one, I'm simple-minded myself, but because I just don't think God's people need to try to get way up here when we're missing the simple things. I mean, until we get those nailed down, what's the use in going forward? Six things we need to see with our spiritual eyes. First of all, I think we need to see the provisions of God. I got to thinking, I'm going to use Bible stories. I don't see nothing better that I could use than just simple stories in the Bible. But six things, and that first thing is the provisions of God. Boy, I don't know about you, but God has provided for me and my family. I mean, He has gone above and beyond. But I got to thinking about over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I'm going to read quite a bit of Scripture tonight. I hope that's okay with you. But verse number 8 of 1 Kings 17, and the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first." And I just want to stop right there and get you to imagine what's going through this little woman's head now. Did I not just tell you that there's not enough for even me and my son? But anyway, he said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil on the cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks." He says, and it says, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now I know this woman, it does not say anything about her looking into this barrel to see whether there was anything left, but I believe she had looked in it. She knew exactly what she had, but when it comes to looking spiritually towards the provisions of God, boy, I'm telling you, see things just a little bit differently then. In fact, I'll go a step further and say things are different. She kept reaching. Listen, Brother Brad, I'm convinced that after a few days, this woman didn't care to look in there to see if anything was there. She knew it was going to be there. She knew that that meal was going to be there every time that she started to make a cake. She knew she had stuff there to work with. And I'm telling you, I've experienced that myself. God has supplied my every need. There's provisions of many different kinds that God blesses us with. I've never gone without a meal, and you can tell. But I'm telling you right now, every aspect of my life, God has provided. He's never let me down. He's never forsaken me. He's always been there to provide what I needed. And I believe you could say the same thing tonight. But so many of God's people, I've heard them, and you've heard them yourself, poor mouthing and talking about how that they're in need. And I thought to myself, well, you're not serving the same God I am if you're in need, because he swore, he promised that he would care and take care of our every need. He'd supply what we needed. And so I'm just saying this, not belittling anybody. I know people go through hard times. I know there's difficult times. But we serve the same God. And if we'll look at God through these spiritual eyes and understand that it's God's heart's desire to supply what we need. Not what we want, although we get a lot of that too, but everything we need, I can vouch for it. He supplies those needs. Boy, I tell you, it's good to know tonight that regardless to what this old world throws our way, regardless to how doom and gloom it may look from time to time, listen, if we'll keep our eyes on God and not on this world, I promise you we'll be able to maintain the joy of our salvation. Psalm 68:19 says this, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Salah. Stop and think about that. Daily he's loading us with his benefits. The provisions of God. I could go on and on, but I'm going to move on to try to keep this thing going. The provisions of God. But then the second thing that we need to really take a look at and understand is the protection of God. The protection of God. Now, 2 Kings, there's so many different stories that you could go to back up what you're trying to say. But there's no need in going anywhere else besides 2 Kings chapter number 17. Again, very familiar scripture. verse number 8. Let me make sure I'm at the right place here. I've got so many scriptures to read. Let me just tell you this. In the book of 2 Kings, Elijah was, he was going against the Syrian king. The king was the king was about to go to war with Israel, and Elijah kept on sending messages to the king of Israel, letting him know the plans of the king of Syria. What a God we serve. And so the king of Syria, I'll just paraphrase, he says, I don't know who it is that keeps telling this information to the king of Israel. I want to know who it is. And one of his servants says, King, it ain't any of us, but it's Elisha. He's the one that's doing it. And boy, I'm telling you, the king says, I want you to go, and I want you to fetch him. Where's he at? And they said, he's in Dothan. And they said, I want you to go and get him and bring him to me. So they go. In fact, it's chapter number 6. I'm there now, finally. Chapter number 6 and verse number 14, the king says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots. In verse 14, and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Verse 15 says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And here we go now. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I think I'd be saying a little bit more than that. I believe I'd be saying, let's get out of here. We got to escape this this host of folks here that's fixing to kill us. But he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? And I love this answer. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now again, like the little widow woman, what are you talking about? I know I don't have but just this little bit here. Can you just imagine what was going on in this servant's mind when he said those that was with us are more than they that be with them? Can you imagine what was going through his mind? One, two, no, we're not more than them. There's no telling what was going through his mind. But I love what Elijah done. In verse number 17, it said he prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. I'm here to tell you tonight, don't you dare fret. Don't you dare worry about what may or may not happen. Just know this one thing. God is our protection. God has never failed us. He's brought us through more than we even know. I love what Brother Josh was talking about the other night about God protecting him on the road when he wasn't exactly in his right mind. I can't even begin to tell you how many nights that's happened to me. And God, through his protective hand, got me through everything that I've ever faced, and you too. But Psalms 18 and 12, the Bible says, 18 verses 1 and 2, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. This is David talking here, and I've mentioned this to you before, and maybe you don't remember, but this is some of my favorite Psalms when David was saying these words here. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Oh, by the way, he's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. And let's see, what else? And my high tower. Boy, David couldn't find a stopping place. Why? Because He knew what God's protective hand meant in his life. And I know you have been through things and you have seen God protect you. God be there for you to get you through that thing that you were going through. That's who this God is. And listen, these old natural eyes, they miss these things. They don't. It's not as real when we're looking at things through our natural eyes. And you say, Brother Dorsey, what are you talking about looking through our spiritual eyes? We have to ask God to show us some things occasionally. We have to ask God to let us see what it is that we're about to go through and how that we've got to have him to make it. I don't understand these folks trying to make it through this walk of life without God. Listen, they say, y'all are just a bunch of weak-minded individuals. You got that right. I've got to have him. He's my everything. I've tried it both ways. I know what I'm talking about. And I can't make it without him. I've got to have his provisions. I've got to have his protection. But then I thought about him being the physician of God. Oh boy, I'm telling you. You can go story after story after story. But Luke chapter number 18, and this is going to ring a bell. Verse number 35. And it came to pass that as he was coming nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Boy, he had heard that name. He hadn't seen him because he couldn't see anything. But he heard of that name. And he cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Boy, I'm telling you right now, the first thing that this man ever saw was the face of Jesus. He had those eyes set on Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, it does not tell us anything else about this man's life. But I could just imagine once he saw Jesus, I just imagine he kept his eyes on Jesus. Jesus touched him and healed him. Why? Because he's the great physician. He's that great physician. And I tell you, there's a lot of people in our church family right now that's having to really, really, really focus on those spiritual eyes, on this great physician. They're going through things that we just don't want to go through, just to be honest. I mean, some of them's been through it and coming out on the other side, and some of them's fixed to go through it. But I'm telling you right now, if we live long enough, we're going to need a physician. And there's nothing wrong with the doctors. I believe in doctors. I believe God has got doctors set up to help us in certain situations. But when it gets right down to where the rubber meets the road, you better believe there's one great physician, and he has authority over them all. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to take a doctor's word for it. Is that being the final authority? Because I know this great physician. He's the one that created these bodies. And I'm telling you right now, he can speak that sickness out of you if he so choose. Amen. I wouldn't tell you. I did this before, and I thought I shouldn't do that. I wouldn't tell you if you were battling with cancer or some other disease. I wouldn't come and tell you unless God made it clear to me, oh, God's going to heal you of that. I just know He's going to heal you of that. He's going to get rid of that cancer. I don't have that authority, and I don't want to put any false hope, but I will tell you this one thing. He created your body and my body, and He can speak that cancer out of your body if He so chooses. He can do it. He can do it. Luke chapter number 8, more familiar scripture. Verse number 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Him and touched the border of His garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Again, we're talking about a great physician. All those doctors could not heal her. And boy, I tell you, Brother David, I've got a son. And I never knew the hardships, the pain, the suffering. I never knew it of his mother leaving when he was a little boy. I never knew how bad it was until he became an adult. I thought we all had just a pretty good life, but he was troubled, and I never knew it. And he's got a nervous condition, and it makes his hands peel and stuff. But so he takes this medication, and. But he's a good boy, but he's so far off of the straight and narrow. I mean, I think he got saved when he was a little boy. He says, I don't remember. But anyway, he's been to doctor after doctor after doctor. He's used his heroin. He's used other drugs. He's trying to get himself to where he, I guess, don't have that stuff on his mind. And I don't know what he's trying to do. But I've talked to him, and and he goes to different doctors, and he gets off of one of their medicines, just cold turkey quits it, and then he starts having tremors, and it's just one thing after another. And I told him just the other day, again, for the thousandth time, I said, son, I know a great physician, and I guarantee you he could help you. When all these other doctors are not able to help you. He said, Daddy, no disrespect, but me and you will never see eye to eye on that. So I'm just saying this. There's a great physician who is there for you and for me in our time of need. And he cannot and will not help you and I if we're not willing to realize that we need His help. He will not force Himself on us. He will not make us do this or that. But it's got to be us that says, Lord, help me. Help me. I need Your touch. I need that great physician to help me. And buddy, he'll be there on the spot to help you. But then I thought about the power of God. The power of God. I ain't got nothing written down for that. You could go all through this word and you can see the power of God. But you ain't even got to open your Bible up. You just walk outside and you look up at that sky. And then when those thoughts come in your mind, as far as I can see in any direction, it doesn't even scratch the surface of the magnitude of this place. You could go from the East Coast to the West Coast of the United States of America, and it still does not scratch the surface of how great this thing of heaven, of the sky. It don't even scratch the surface. You think about the stars in the sky at night on a beautiful clear night out in the country. You look up and it's just absolutely amazing. And every bit of this is because of the power of God. I thought, you know, the other day I thought, man, I hate heat. I'm already sick of this hot weather. And it ain't even got started yet. But I got to thinking about what I heard one time. This old sun, if it was any closer to the earth, would all burn up. If it was any further from the earth, would all freeze to death. God put that sun exactly where it needed to be, and he said, stay there, and it stayed. Don't tell me that this God that we serve that saved our old wretched souls, don't tell me that he does not have power. I mean, you could go on and on and on thinking about what he has done and see the power of God, and it just absolutely amazes us. You know what? A person that's looking out of these old natural eyes always, he misses out on stuff like this. This is simple stuff. This is stuff that's around us that God did. I got to thinking about a missionary that we used to support at another church I went to. Can't think of his name, but I'm pretty sure he was missionary to the Philippines. And he told this story one time. Never forget it. He went to a revival service. It was at a sports arena over there. Held thousands of people, and it was full. They was politicians and dignitaries and a little bit of everybody there. And he said he got through preaching, and boy, the people was moving. But this man walked up to him, shedding tears, said, I just got saved. And he said he started to rejoice with a man, and the man stopped him and said, I didn't come here to get saved. He said, I came here on a mission. He was in what we refer to or think of as the mafia, whatever it's called over there where he was at. And he said, I came here to kill you tonight. They sent me here to kill you. And he said, as I was working my way through the crowd to get to where I would be lined up to where I could shoot you, he said, my mind started filtering some of that message that you was preaching on. And he said, almost when I got right there to where I could get a clear view, he said, it changed from my mind to my heart. And he said, the convicting power of God fell on my life, and he said, I just got saved. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, listen, we sort of put people in categories. This one over here is too mean, he's too hateful, he's too hard. He will never, ever, ever surrender to God. We don't have the authority to say that. I just know this one thing. The power of God can take that cold, hard heart and melt it. I don't care who they are. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care how bad they are. God has the power to melt that heart. What a God we serve. I've caught myself before thinking, God just, he can't never save that person. They're unsavable. They're straight from the devil. But I got news for you and I got news for myself. This God that we serve can save anybody, anybody at any time. He can save them. We don't need to give up on them because he hadn't given up on them. And so the power of God is what we need to understand. It's real. I thank God for that power. But then I thought about the perfection of God. Again, big subject. Big subject. So many places you could go to, but I got to thinking about what old Isaiah wrote in chapter 6. Verse number 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." It goes on to say, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Boy, I'm telling you, God is perfect. Oh, how beautiful it must be to see something like this. He is perfect. The perfection of God is amazing. And you'll never, ever know what it means or understand it if you're not able to see through spiritual eyes this perfection of God. He don't make no mistakes. He's perfect. Oh, listen, we can rejoice in that. Because I'm telling you right now, you don't know no other that's perfect. You say, what about Sister Kim? Well, the old song says she's close enough to perfect for me, but she's not perfect. Nobody's perfect except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, if you want some more evidence, turn over to Revelation chapter number 5, and I'll read you a few verses there. Starting in verse 1, and this has always touched my heart. I've just always loved this portion of Scripture because it says, "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon." I'm telling you, you know what it takes? It takes perfection. You know who's able? Oh, I'm fixing to read to you who's able. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps of and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and of the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands." I'm going to stop reading right there. That's enough to let you know the perfection of God. I used to think, well, Lord, You mean to tell me that Abraham, being a friend of God, David, being a man after God's own heart, Elijah, taken up in a whirlwind, not to see death, Enoch, walking with God and was not. Listen, there's men that you would think would be able to do something like this. But that ain't the case. Nobody has that perfection except the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, thank God that He was able to open that book. And listen, this is stuff that John saw, but it's going to happen. It hadn't happened yet. It's going to happen. But John saw it. He got a little foresight of it and shared with you and I. But this great, great God that we serve is perfect. He is perfect. And He's going to take that book one of these days and open it up. Lastly, the preparation of God. Now, David Bass has made mention several different times of this in the last several weeks. But the Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, very familiar scripture, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." David said, you know, have you ever stopped and thought? God created, God spoke everything into existence. And here Jesus is. He went to prepare us a place. And I never had really thought about it, just to be honest with you. Why didn't He just speak it into existence? I don't know the answer to it either. If you do, you can tell me. But I do know this one thing. He's gone to prepare us a place. He said He did. And I heard somebody the other day say, well, I just ain't used to all the fancy stuff. I don't want a gold street to walk on. I don't want a mansion to live in. I'm not that, I don't need all. I want whatever God wants me to have. Amen. I'll turn cartwheels on that gold street if I can. You ain't never seen me try to turn a cartwheel, but I'll try. It'll be an honor to be up there on what He's prepared for us, regardless to what it is. I'm just glad and thankful that I'm going to be a part of it. And He has gone to prepare a place for you and I. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." I've heard of people that took a trip up to heaven and to hell and wrote a book about it, what they saw and experienced. I'm not going to say whether they did or didn't. God can do what God wants to do. I ain't got no control over that. I tend to disagree or doubt it, but I just couldn't imagine what heaven's going to be like. I couldn't imagine seeing it. I pray sometimes, Lord, just give me a glimpse. Just let me see. I think we have little glimpses here and we don't even realize it sometimes. Boy, when that little old saint of God's laid in the hospital room and they're holding their hand up and saying stuff like, do you see them? Do you see them? I'm telling you right now, I've never been in a room like that, but just hearing somebody that has been in a room to experience that, I think to myself, I got cold chills just thinking about that. They have got a glimpse of heaven, of what it's going to be like. And I'm telling you right now, God is mighty good to us here today on this earth, but whoa, what has He got in store for us? And we just need to
try to visualize, try to think about that more often. I mean, we're to encourage one another with this thought, with the fact that he's going to come back and get us one day. Encourage one another. Church, I'm done. My prayer tonight would be that something that was said would make you stop and think. Something that was said might make you want to see things more in a spiritual vision than a natural vision. Because we miss so much when we don't try to spiritually see what God's got in store for us. This old world will knock the breath out of you. I mean, it will absolutely keep you defeated if you let it. I mean, that's what the devil wants. That's what he's using these people for. He uses lost people. He uses church people. He uses whoever will allow him to be used to discourage you and me. To try to keep us from experiencing the joy of our salvation, that peace that passes all understanding. He tries his best to keep us from enjoying that. I got news for him. I lived a lot of years for him. Got a lot of bumps and bruises and scars to prove it. I'm not impressed with him. There is pleasure in sin for a season. The best thing we could do, whether you're a young person here tonight or whether you're older, the best thing we can do is keep these spiritual eyes on God. Let the little things that this world might tell you is just coincidence. Oh, it's good luck, bad luck. Let them keep saying what they will. But let's focus on God and let's understand what God is doing, the blessings, the perfection. Let's let all of that be real to us. I like what people say when they first get saved. Everything just looks so greener, so brighter. And then as we get saved for a while, it seems like it fades away. It don't mean as much to us. I'd urge you tonight, get back to that place to where everything looks brighter, because with God, it is. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for these scriptures and these thoughts, Father, and I pray that it'd be a help to your people. Oh, God, I love you tonight. I thank you for everything that you've done for me and my family. I think you've been better to us than anybody else. You've blessed us beyond measure, and I'm so thankful for it. Lord, when I go and open my refrigerator up or my cupboard up and have to stand there and think about what I'm going to eat, there's so much to choose. God, help me to appreciate and thank you for that. You go open the closet and the clothes and all that you blessed us with. We take for granted those little things, Father, and I just ask you to help us to look at things spiritually, be thankful for everything that you blessed us with. I thank you for our church family, God. You blessed us with a great church family, a great man of God, and I pray that you'd keep a hedge around each home that's represented here. Don't let the devil tear this place apart. Protect us, Father. Watch over us. Keep us safe. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. I ask all this in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.